Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. This is Pastor Dan Roth here, as well as my special guest today, Aaron Espinosa.
Hey, Pastor Dan, good being on.
Welcome to the podcast, man. Thank you. Aaron, you have worked behind the cameras for most of these podcasts.
That's right, yeah.
We might have called you out a couple times. I'm not sure.
A couple times.
Did we?
I think so.
Did we do that?
Yeah, at least once.
I mean, we just love to play, so.
Right.
Yeah, we got Ian with us behind the cameras today, but we brought Aaron out from behind the camera. And Aaron, how long have you been at The Rock?
Yeah, my goodness. So, oh, man, I'm 26 right now, July 2025 here, and I started, I think, in 2008, so okay. I was, like, in fifth grade. So however old that is, I don't know, maybe 9, 10?
Something like that.
Somewhere. Huh? So it's been about, like, 18 years.
Man.
Planet rooted, growing, all that good stuff. So
wonderful, wonderful.
Been a part of the journey for quite some time.
Now, what have you done around The Rock?
Yeah, so initially I first started just attending youth and, well, fifth grade, actually, and then into youth. From there, I started playing in our worship teams with Seaside Raceway, which is our children's ministries. And then from there, transitioned into playing keys for the worship teams for youth, young adults. Did internship once I graduated high school, and then did a year of internship with the youth department. After that, I said I'll never do youth again. And then I went to social media, and then long story, God's bringing me back to youth. It's unique. But yeah, it's been really cool. And now I'm on staff here. I'm on the video team. So yeah, usually I'm behind these cameras making sure all this is good. And today we have a little switcheroo.
Amazing. Yeah. Now, I know the burning question on everyone's mind is, where is Mrs. Espinosa?
We're trying to locate her.
Are we
so
still
trying? So if you know, if you have any leads, let me know, because I'm trying to find her.
I think I'm a good judge of character, and I think that you are like the most eligible bachelor at The Rock right now.
Wow, thank you.
So
I appreciate
that. Catch and some lady needs to snap you
it
up.
It needs to happen. Yeah,
he before the feeding frenzy. Maybe after this podcast.
This could be the thing.
This might this be what launches.
It. Wow. God knew.
Because one thing leads to another.
One thing leads to another.
Yeah, actually, that was the subject of our weekend message. And,
that's right.
And
yeah.
I know we're not going to do a specific, you know, I can't do the Pastor Antonio rewind.
That's
but,
for that
you
guy.
Know, that's, we'll just leave
only
that for
can
him.
Do that.
He's on vacation. Let's
let him enjoy
alone.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's not a rewind, but just talking about how one thing leads to another. I mean,
right.
We've seen this in life. We've seen this time and time again. Nothing starts where we currently presently see it. I think the old saying was, Rome wasn't built in the day, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Talked about how one thing leads to another.
Yeah, yep.
And in your life, I know that you've done some pretty amazing things, both inside. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about what you've done outside of The Rock. Because, I mean, inside The Rock, you've got, you know, you're playing with Catalyst, you're playing keys, you're involved in youth.
Yeah, yeah.
You did internship, social media, now video. Now you're talking about going back to youth. But that's just like part of the story.
Correct.
What have you done outside of The Rock as far as ministry?
As far as ministry goes, yeah. So during pandemic time, that era, I was actually, so during my internship with youth, I picked up a camera and I was like, hey, I think we can do some more on our youth social media. So they said, well, here's a camera. I said, all right, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll figure it out.
Nice.
And then from there, I picked up photography, started doing all that, weddings and all kinds of cool things. But in the process, I really just want to connect with some just other believers that were also creatives. And so with that, during the whole pandemic era, I was like, man, like, I just want some brothers. Like, I have an older brother. We're great. I have a younger sister. We're close. Great family. I'm so thankful.
Your middle child.
Middle child.
All right.
Slap in the middle. Yeah.
Now, are you, this is a side, but are you typical? Do you know what that means?
A typical middle child?
Yeah.
How do you define that?
I mean, normally, the middle child is more emotional.
Yeah, am I emotional? I think I'm the fun one.
Are you the
I
fun one?
I keep it lively, keep it joyful.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like,
because the oldest is usually very responsible.
Yeah.
You know, middle child kind of, and maybe that's the fun one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's, you keep it more
the
jovial.
The in-between balance.
Yeah, and then the baby gets babied.
Right. Yeah, the princess in my family.
Oh, see,
yeah,
there it is.
She's the princess.
Okay,
yeah.
Now I'm seeing some typical male.
I guess I'm the typical standard middle child.
Middle child, yeah. Like,
yeah,
because the
him.
Baby, that kind of provoked.
Yeah.
One
I
thing
was
led
never
to another
one,
there.
Though, that was jealous, because, you know, sometimes the new kid comes in and it's like, oh, all the attention now. But I was never like that, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they say, like, the middle child is kind of like the forgotten child sometimes.
That's what they say.
Because the oldest is like type A, leading,
right.
You know, second mom if it's a girl, or, you know, very responsible. But then the baby is like the one that gets all the attention, all that. And middle child is like, well, I'm just here.
We're just there. Yeah. But I don't feel forgotten.
No.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm with my family, it's like, oh, man, like, Aaron's here right now. You
nice.
Know, so sometimes it's probably like, they're probably like, Aaron, like, go somewhere else right now, you know, because it's just so much energy and fun.
You've got
and all
a great
that.
Family, though. I got to say that
thank
your
you.
Family is just amazing, and
thank
my
you.
My son's been a part of your dad's, you know, leadership and discipleship and his cabins for youth.
Right.
And they've, you know,
Bible studies, and all
just
this stuff.
amazing yeah. family. And so, so like, grateful. I can imagine like your home life is just great too. So
yeah. It's awesome. Great. It's well, yeah.
Sorry. That was a total.
Yeah.
Aside,
but, going back on but, track. Yeah. So 2020 trying to figure out, I want some brothers coming from a great family, mm-hmm. but at the same time I was like, God, like, I want some people that get me heart to heart. And so there was an event that was happening during that whole time. Of course, here in California, they say our government said you can't worship, you can't sing, you can't gather. And so the Christians in our state were like, you know what? That's a whole bunch of
hooey,
and we won't do that. We're going to do what the Bible says. And so many different streams of ministry, people were going out and worshiping all over California in the public spaces at beaches and city parks and all this stuff. And one of the photographers who was at one of these events, they had posted some photos, and I love photos. I was like, hey man, I saw them on Instagram. It's like, great photos. Like, so cool. We just started connecting. And then they invited me out a few months later in July of 2021. And after that, I remember getting off work that day, and you know, it's in San Diego, and they invited me to this event, and I, you know, live in the Empire Highland, and so it's about a two-hour drive one way with traffic depending, and I was like, man, I told them I would go, I don't know. Anyways, I said, God, what do you want me to do? Should I go or should I not? And I just heard these seven words in my spirit that changed the really trajectory of where I would go, and these seven words were, Aaron, go, I want to bless you. Wow. And I had no idea what that meant, but I got in my car and went for it, and these were friends that were really answers to prayer. And so answering your question of what has happened in ministry outside of The Rock, it's been a whole bunch of just fun stuff. Rolling with a ministry called California Will Be Saved that initiated in 2021. Going all over every major city in California, preaching the gospel, seeing people worship, bringing worship to streets. Been a part of that. And then not only that, but one thing led to another. I did not realize that the prayers that I was asking God, that he was unfolding them in real time, but it was more than what I had even thought of. And I think that's the truth with doing life with God, Ephesians 3:20, right? It's the exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ever ask, dream, think, or imagine.
For sure, yeah.
And we talked about it off camera, but I even found myself doing media and ministry in Washington, D.C. because of some friends I met that were really cool, and we connected heart to heart.
Yeah.
And it's just been really cool to see what God's done. We mentioned a few times, but sometimes ministry calls when you're not looking for it. And I mean, baptizing people in local fountains because the Spirit of God just drops on that moment. I'm like, this is, I don't know what's going on right now, but Lord, I trust your leadership.
That's at Mountain Grove, right?
At Mountain Grove down the street here in Redlands. And that was a story. That's, oh my gosh, that's a whole other podcast, it feels like.
Could be.
Anyways, this person we were, had just had a Rock Young Adults 20th anniversary conference. We were wearing some shirts that was the merch of that event. Mm-hmm. Some, two girls that were at the Mountain Grove Plaza, they walk over like, hey, I was with a friend group, and they said, we were just at that conference because one of our friends is wearing the shirt. I said, how cool is that? And so she said, I left that conference and I knew that God wanted me to bring my Bible. She said, I carry my Bible everywhere. It's my sword. Awesome. And I knew that I wanted, I knew that God was telling me to come to here and share the word with someone. And I said, well, that's great. Amen. She said, but what I didn't know was that God wanted me to actually share the word with my friend who's not saved. And at that point, her friend had just gotten saved. Her friend was led by the Lord by her friend there at Mountain Grove. And then they walk up to us. And then anyways, we baptize in the Holy Spirit. That's a whole other story. But she falls out in front of Cher T. Boba House on the ground.
I mean, if you're going to fall out.
Yeah. Like, she was a skeptical, but
you
then
you get Boba when you come back.
That's right. And then it would be a sweet story.
Oh my gosh.
This Boba's sweet. Anyways, what we're getting to is that it's been incredible what God has done outside and inside The Rock.
Yeah, after baptizing her in the Holy Spirit, then you guys said, well, hey, kind of like,
might as well go all in.
Yeah, let's go with water too, right? It's kind of like the Cornelius conversion, right? Yeah. What's stopping these guys from water?
That's right.
And they had water.
And then not only that, Pastor Dan, but literally as we're coming up, she's coming up out of the water, this car drives by, they're honking their horn, celebrating. And it's like 9 p.m. at night during summertime. It's popping.
Yeah.
And we're one friend, she worked at the coffee house next door, and she's like, Aaron, don't go in the fountain. People get banned all the time. There's cops. Don't do that. And I said, all right, you can stay here, but I know that God's leading us, and we'll be good. We'll be covered. And it was great. Nothing happened. But this car drives by. They're celebrating, and they're honking their horns. They loop back around. They're obviously trying to, like, see what's happening. And there were new believers. We find out. They get out of their car, and they say, hey, we don't know why we're here tonight. We're newer believers, but we just really felt that God wanted us to be here tonight, and we don't know why, and now we know why we want to be baptized.
Wow.
And so we break open our Bibles and want to make sure that they know what baptism is. Go to Matthew 28, Great Commission, Romans 6, about being buried with Christ and raised to life, all that great stuff. And then they come up, we baptize one of the friends, he comes up, the friend, other friend's looking in shock. I'm like, do you want to be baptized? She's like, I want to be baptized. And from there, like four or five people in that night got baptized. But one thing led to another.
I mean, okay, so let's just recap this because we're talking about this. One thing leads to another. So it starts with coming to the Rock in fifth grade.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting involved in youth.
Right.
Becoming an intern.
Yes.
Saying, hey, we should do more on social media.
Yeah.
Learning photography.
Right.
Doing social media at the Rock, which also opens the door. And because you love photography, you comment on a post.
Another photographer.
That led to an invitation to go be a part of revival meetings in the streets.
Right.
And now you're doing ministry and promoting these events, which led to you just having revival. Now, okay, now let's take a look where some things converge, okay?
Yeah.
My wife and I got married, okay? We just celebrated.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, 24 years. Such a blessing. Yeah. So two people that fell in love with Jesus get together. Mm-hmm. 24 years ago, we go to Bible college. In Bible college, we had in our hearts birthed a young adults ministry because The Rock at the time had what was called Bridges. It was for singles only. So that meant the moment you got married, all of your friendships, everything, you're out of it, right?
Yeah.
So we said, hey, let's do that. And we didn't want to do college or career because not everybody goes to college. Not everybody knows what their career is at the moment of adulthood, right? So we said, let's call it young adults. Mm. And there were some great ministries down there, a church called Guts, which, I mean, you got to have guts to name your church Guts Church, right? Yeah. Great church. They had a young adults ministry, 9 p.m. So we started our young adults ministry at 9 p.m. on Friday nights.
That's how you know you're committed.
And we did that. And that was over 20 years ago. So then 20 years later, everything's converging.
Culminating.
We all are coming together now.
Right.
And here you are. One thing's leading to another. And here we are, one thing led to another, to 20 years, right?
Incredible.
And and we even had the guy that was leading the ministry at that time, Ross Johnson, came and preached.
Right, yeah.
At that 20 year. So here's everything coming together. And that night, you go to Mountain Grove and baptize like five people.
Not even in my plans.
In the fountain.
In the fountain. Water and all. That's wild.
I mean, that just shows you the providence of God, right? How God leads everything.
Providence, yeah.
And God is directing our steps and moving us and motivating us. And even beyond that, to take you a step further and to send you to Washington, D.C., where you get to be a part of some amazing things there, prayer over our nation. You know, I believe that prayer is so powerful.
It is.
And that many times, especially believers, we undervalue the power that we have in just petitioning the Father.
Yeah.
You know, and simple things like praying for our families, praying for our homes, praying for our communities are powerful things that impact the future. And really, so, I mean, here you are in the nation's capital.
Yeah.
Praying prayers over our land that are going to birth revival.
Right.
You know, just.
Yeah. On the National Mall, 350,000 believers, 12 hours crying out to God.
Yeah.
God, save America and like make America turn back to God. And so things like that.
And we're seeing it.
And we're seeing it happen, unfold in real time. You know, and it's incredible. There's a saying that says every great move of God is preceded by prayer.
Absolutely.
And I believe it. I remember you said this years ago, and it always stuck with me. You had said everything is birthed in prayer, it is sustained in prayer, and it is completed in prayer.
I wish that I could take credit for that quote, but that's Pastor Deborah. I got that from her, so I just kept
Pastor
saying
Deborah.
It, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, it is.
But it's true.
It's so true.
Yeah, and sometimes it's easy to give up in the middle of the prayer not being answered, but it's like, man, would you just stay the course? Because what is God doing behind the scenes that I'm not even aware of, that you're not even aware of, that you birthing a ministry would actually still bear fruit years after you're now a senior pastor, and yet here's God still breathing on something because it was God.
Yeah.
And that's the power of prayer.
Amazing.
So good.
Amazing how just one thing leads to another. Now, in the message, we talked about positive and negatives, and I'm sure along your path, along your journey, you've encountered that there's things that you've done. One thing led to another. You know, we just talked about some great things that took place in your life.
Yeah.
You know, but we also talked about the influences. You know, and obviously when we shared, you had some friends, you'd been praying for that. But also this works in other ways too. Have you had those experiences where maybe there was, you know, influences that were negative in your life or things that came at you to where, you know, one thing led to another and you found yourself in a place where you said, this is the wrong place. You know, I need to get out of this and get back to where God, you know, where again, one thing leads to another, that one choice to say, hey, I'm not going this route. I'm going to come back to God. You know, it's like just the simple phrase in the Bible, come, let us return to the Lord.
That's so good. Yep.
That one thing leads to the repentance of a people that brings them back into the land.
Correct.
You know, and so simple and yet so powerful. Have you had any experiences like that?
Yeah. So there's been some great, I'm so thankful that majority of my influences in my life have been great influences. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been intentional about that because, you know, seeing families and different things, there's a lot of examples of what not to be.
Yeah.
So I knew that, okay, well, I don't want to have those kind of friends. And not to say that I can't be friends with people who aren't Christians.
Right.
You mentioned this weekend that Jesus ate with sinners, but he was on mission. He was on mission to bring the kingdom to them so that we said it before that we just don't need behavior modification. We need heart transformation. Mm-hmm. And so with that, you know, I was working before here, working at In-N-Out Burger. Shout out. Double doubles all day.
Love In-N-Out.
Amen. But with that, there's some people in that world that are just, a lot of them are not Christians. I mean, young adults, they go party, this and that. And there was times where, you know, there's invites and Aaron, come, this that. But I knew that, you know what, like, not that I can't be friends with them, but I know if I continue to be with these friends, I mean, I never really did, I didn't do anything that they were partaking in. Of course, we would hang out and have a great time. But I don't drink, I don't do drugs, none of that stuff, because I know that if I go down this road, I think I remember this as a kid, Pastor Sue, who's at the time our children's ministry pastor, and probably this quote comes from somewhere else, maybe you know, but the quote is this, is that sin will take us further than we want to go, keep us longer than we want to stay, and eventually it will cost us more than we want to pay.
Yep.
And these are things that are being framed in my heart and my mind while growing up here at The Rock, where it's like, all right, I'm thinking these things through. These aren't just catchy quotes for an Instagram moment. No, these are actually real life principles and real life things that if I implement this and apply it, it's actually going to save me a whole bunch of mess, right?
Yeah, heartache.
And so, heartache, that too, pain.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah. And so all that to say is that I've had great influence in my life because I've known I don't want to have influences in my life that are going to pull me the wrong direction. And I think too, it's good to step away from the canvas sometimes. Sometimes we're too close to the picture.
Yeah.
And say, okay, how do I step back and say, all right, God, what are you doing? And then how do I honor that and not give up what God's doing in my life for the sake of pleasures or for the sake of, well, they're doing that or they're doing this. It's like, no, I think it's important to understand there is a call too great on all of our lives as believers where we can forfeit and forsake it if we're not careful. Right. Because as much as one thing leads to another for the good, one thing leads to another for the bad.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I know in my life, it wasn't on my own at 10 years old that I found pornography.
Mm.
It was through
negative
influences, people that were my best friends.
Yeah.
You know, I went and spent the night at their houses.
Sleepovers.
Yeah. I mean, they just were like, hey, look at what my dad has, you know? And those were the moments that shaped a very painful process in my life of wrestling with that and struggling with that. And you know, even having that, the implications of that flowing into my marriage and with my children. I've had to have some difficult conversations and had to, you know, even with my sons, especially, you know, just talking to them about how much of a tar pit that stuff is, you know, it's sticky, it gets on you and it's not easy to get off and get away from.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but even in youth group in high school, you know, we'd go to youth group on, you know, whatever night it was, Thursday or Wednesday night.
Sure.
But then the next night we'd be at somebody's house watching pornography.
Wow.
You know, and stupid teenagers, of course.
Right.
Young men with young men's issues and just going after the flesh and what feels good in the moment.
Right.
But those are the things that if, you know, we really take a look at, one thing leads to another.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to painful processes, that led to a lot of anguish, that led to, you know, shame and heartache and you know, hurt and all those things that come with that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that's where if we recognize and realize, just like I said, that one thing leads to another, hey, come let us return to the Lord, that if you are addicted, you know, whether it's to pornography or drugs or alcohol or pain meds or any of those types of things, it just takes one choice.
Yeah. So good.
You know, it just takes one moment of saying, hey, I don't want this. You know, we talked about the power of prayer.
Yes.
I would not have been able to make it out of pornography without prayer,
without
saying, God, change my heart. God, change my desires. God, make it detestable to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, God, help me through this process. Walk me through this, you know? And obviously with confession and accountability and those other things that you have to go through in order to get free. But it's one thing leading to another. It's making a decision. It's making a choice. It's staying in faith. It's saying no, you know, and right. those choices, those, what we would say are little choices, which really are a big deal
mm-hmm.
along the way, bring you to that path of freedom where you want to be. And I mean, I know probably yeah. most of our viewers and listeners right now are just thinking, gosh, you know, there's something that's on their heart that they're thinking, man, I need that. I want that, you know, and it yeah. just takes a choice. It just takes saying, all right, I'm done with that. You yep. know, it was funny. I was talking about my dad the other day to somebody because we were talking about coffee. Okay. So on our yeah. anniversary, we found this little coffee shop. I got an affogato, which if you don't know what that is,
those are good.
It's ice cream with a shot of espresso poured over it. Okay. And so we went to this little place and they had that. And so I was, you know, if it's afternoon, I'm not having caffeinated because I'll be up.
You'll be up all night. Yeah.
All night. Yeah. I don't know what that is about me and caffeine.
This man needs to sleep.
I have my one cup in the morning and that's it. But yeah. so I got a decaf, but it was still their signature blend.
Okay.
And there was this flavor in there that I was just like, what is that? You know? And I promise this story is leading somewhere.
But one thing leads to another. Stick
one
with
thing
us.
Leads
stick
to another. So the story's going to lead up. It's going to build yeah. up. So hopefully you're not like, oh, that's it. You know, but no, but there's this flavor in there. And I'm like, what is, it's kind of spicy and kind of sour.
Huh.
And the because we were down in San Diego area, you know, the theme of it was like the tall ships, the old, you know, pirates and things like yeah. that. And so Jessica was like, it's got to be rum. You know, because there's different flavor notes. In case you didn't know about coffee, they have like, sometimes they'll have like chocolate notes or nutty notes or fruity notes or different things like that. So yeah. she's like, it's probably rum, you know, because they've...
Military city and all these
so,
things.
Yeah, pirates, you know, just, yeah. you know, Caribbean or whatever makes sense. And so I'm going, no, I don't think it's that. Not that I know what rum tastes like, but, you know, yeah. rum raisin and, you know.
Right.
But ice cream.
Ice cream,
okay. So here I am. I'm like, it's not that. I don't think it's that. It's something familiar, but I don't know what it is. Kind of spicy, has this little sour taste to it. I don't know what it is. So finally, I get up and I go back into the store, and I look at their signature blend bag because it'll tell you what the flavor notes are on the bag. Okay. And on the bag, it said notes of tobacco. Okay. Now, mind you, my dad smoked from the time I was born until the year 2000 when I turned 20. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped smoking because they were raising the prices, not because of his health,
yeah,
but because he was cheap and he didn't want to pay that
we're
much
not
money.
Do this.
And he was yeah. stubborn. Okay.
And was it like a cold turkey quit?
Cold turkey.
That's it.
Done.
No more.
Like, you're raising the prices. I'm not paying it.
Yeah. Forget
and he
this.
Never smoked again. And I'm not exaggerating. This is the type of man wow. my dad was. You yeah. know, he just put his mind to something. He would do it. He made a choice. Remember, one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
But I remember after. You know, reading that, it made so much more sense why I didn't like it, because I did not like the smoke smell.
Yeah,
you know, and I was joking.
It
with
brought
my
you
wife.
Back to a time.
Well, yeah, and I was joking with Jessica about it because I was like, you know, I recognize that flavor because I spent 20 years of my life secondhand smoking.
Yeah, you're around it. Yeah,
I mean, I'd go to see my dad in the garage because he wasn't allowed to smoke in the house. He'd smoke in the garage.
Okay,
so I'd open the door to the garage from the house, and you'd see this blanket just kind of, you know,
yeah.
do the wave across the whole garage, and somewhere in there, my dad would be working on a computer.
Wow.
You know, anybody that knows him knows that was his thing. But but yeah, and I was telling Jess, the only time I ever enjoyed it was like there was one brand. And, you know, my dad would light up in that first puff. I would go, oh, that smells good. And then after that, I'd go, oh, that smells awful. I'm out of here. You know, it was,
yeah.
I'd be running away from it. But, you know, that whole thing brought me to the point of thinking about our choices, you know, and this is where we land the plane of this whole emphasis of what we're talking about is that when one thing leads to another, right, here's a man's choice that affects his family. His family is affected in their future, right?
Yeah.
Even to the point of our memories. And I know that people, when they're going through life, there are things that, you know, probably the world would call them triggers, right? But I think that's probably a good word because it starts something in us, you know? It could be a smell. It could be a sound,
yep.
a song that we hear on the radio, you know? After my dad passed, I was in a restaurant waiting for food to come. My family was outside, and one of his favorite songs came on the radio. Now, it was 2020. I had sunglasses and a mask on and a hat, and I was very grateful for that because underneath all that, I was losing just my composure,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
just completely crying and sobbing underneath it because that's one of his favorite songs, you
right.
know. But that those little triggers, those little things that kick us into things. But I think that's where when we talk about one thing leads to another, it's our choices and having that understanding that, like, if I can make a godly decision,
yep,
right, the seed of that, mm-hmm. you know, we just did a successful sowing series. The seed of that will eventually grow. It'll mm-hmm. take root. It's going to take time. There's seed, time, and harvest, right?
That's right.
But over that process of time, you know, we're going to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, and it's those decisions. I'm so proud of you that, you know, what God is doing in your life
thank
and
you.
Where God's taking you. And I just see yeah. so much in your future too.
Oh, thanks,
you
Pastor.
Know? That's amazing. And,
so grateful.
And just grateful for you.
Yeah. Pastor Dan, real quick.
Yeah.
Since we're kind of on this topic before we close and land the plane here, if there's people who are maybe in these cycles, in mm-hmm. these rhythms, maybe they're watching right now and they're like, you know what? I have these things in front of me where maybe they have the wrong crowd around them, influences, or maybe they're in a home as such, like you grew up. How do you encourage that person? They really want freedom, but there is such a struggle. Or even as you were mentioning, you were introduced to pornography at a young age.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation may be, as you're listening, what do you say to those ones who are saying, I want out, but I'm just not sure what that looks like right now?
You know, I think that there's several things that I could say. First thing is mm-hmm. to get a picture from the Word of God
yep.
of what freedom looks like, or what, you know, your future looks like, what you're truly desiring. Get a picture from the Word of God. I liken it to going to, you know, the hardware store, and they've got that wall with all the seed packets, or that,
yeah.
that turn thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see people and they're looking at the packages, and what are they looking at? They're looking at what the product is going to be.
That's
good. They get a picture of the future. Oh, there's tomatoes.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, here's cilantro. Here's onions. What are we doing? We're creating salsa, right?
Yeah.
but what they're looking at is they're looking at what type of tomatoes do I want? Do I want Roma tomatoes? Do I want beefsteak tomatoes? Do I want cherry tomatoes? Right, there's all different kinds.
Yeah.
Get a picture of what kind of fruit you want in your future.
That's it.
Right? Yep. If it's freedom from addiction, if it's the fruit of the Spirit, if it's a witness, you know, you're talking about being in ministry. Get that picture of what that future looks like. If you're not happy with where you're at,
yeah.
with the weeds and the overgrowth and, you know, just whatever's popping up out of the ground right now. The ground on its own will produce thorns and thistles.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So it has to be cultivated, right?
Right. Yep.
And that takes time. And that's the second thing that I would say is just be diligent, number one, but also be patient, number two.
That's it, yeah.
Because diligence will get the ground ready. It'll remove the weeds. It'll prepare the soil. It will sow the seed. It will water the seed. It will wait on the seed. Patience will help in that process.
Which is a fruit of the Spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know God's at work because there's patience.
Yeah.
And there's different things that are evidence of God at work.
Yeah.
I think about Adam, you know, real quick, going back to Romans where it says through Adam came condemnation, but through Jesus came justification.
Right.
And there are now, you know, John 3:16 through 18, like with some of my favorite passages, it's like great the world famous verse.
Yeah.
But then John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, we might be saved.
Right.
And I think sometimes people don't understand that you're not like, God's not here to condemn you, but there's a holy conviction mm-hmm. that will require change within you. But you're already condemned if you're in the world. And sometimes
yeah.
I think people are, you know, in these really like these cycles of wrong influences or wrong things, and so they just feel like there's no way out. But I love how you said that there's time and there's patience, but let patience have its perfect work within us.
Perfect work, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And God's going to finish what he started. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And
yeah.
so that's encouraging to hear because, man, praise God, Dad, stop cold turkey. And praise God that you were saying, you know what, I don't want to live like my friends. And even
yeah.
though it led to difficult conversations, but now it's bringing freedom and it's giving your, even your own sons a blueprint of how to live righteously and not be
yeah.
submitting to things that are not godly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm taking those stories of, because my dad, you know, has stories of being drunk, driving down Arlington Boulevard in Riverside at like
yeah.
120 miles an hour,
Jesus.
You know,
yeah.
and just how the Lord saved him from that. And, you know, he was a hippie. He smoked dope. He did speed. I remember him talking about being awake for, I think it was 72 hours.
Wow.
He was awake and he was just walking around the city of Riverside, you know.
Wow.
And he'd get to a crossing, you know, point and push the button and just stand there and tweet, you know, and just wait for the crossing thing because he was just so full of drugs and, you know, adrenaline
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. I tell these stories to our kids because I let them know, hey, this is the fruit of where this is at. Not only in the positive that my dad got free from those things and that, you know, lived a great life and sank himself into good things at the end of his life. I mean, he's teaching at our school.
Yeah.
He was serving at the food distribution center, creating computer programs to check people in here, and you know, his influence still lives on.
A brilliant man.
Genius.
This guy can work with his hands and his mind.
Genius. Yeah. And so, you know, to show them that, but also tell them negative stories of others who, you know, didn't make the right choice, allowed the wrong influences, destroyed their marriage, no longer have a good relationship with their children. There's real world examples around us that I've said, hey, that's the outcome of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
One thing leads to another. And if you make this decision now, this is where it's going to go. Even simple things. Parents, if your children are mouthing off, I've told my kids, if you talk to your boss that way, you're going to get fired. One thing leads to another.
Right.
If you talk to your spouse that way, you're not going to have a good marriage.
Mm-hmm.
One thing leads to another, right?
Yeah.
This is the fruit of that seed.
Yep.
You know, and that's where that's going to go. So, Aaron, I just so appreciate you joining us today. Would you pray for our viewers and listeners? I just think, you know, we've talked about a lot, and I know you're sensing this as well as I am, that I know that this probably has stirred some things up in people.
Yeah.
And would you just pray for their hearts, pray for their freedom, pray for, you know, God to move them? And there probably are some people that have that seed packet picture of a future in ministry or marriage or, you know, a good witness, you know, in life, or maybe their family getting saved. Just all those things surrounding positive as well as the negative, like, hey, I want to break free of this addiction. I want to break free of this besetting sin that I just can't seem to kick, you know?
Right.
Both of those scenarios, would you just lift up our listeners?
Absolutely. Definitely. You know, we started with prayer. And so for you watching, listening, whether you're on the 91 stuck in traffic or out in the yard working or in between schedules, but as we pray, I'm convinced of this. Pastor Dan's convinced that we believe God. And so I just want to encourage you, let's believe God and let's see him do great things, and let's see God do the very things that he's promised since long ago. So let's pray. Yeah. So Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that God, you are the good shepherd, that you know exactly how to lead us, God. And so I just pray right now, Jesus, for every single viewer listening, every single person watching, God, Lord, you know exactly where they're at. Lord, you know exactly what's in front of them. But Lord, I thank you, God, that you have sent Jesus, that we would not be condemned, but that we, God, would receive salvation and that we would be righteous with you, Lord. So I just pray right now, God, for every person who feels the weight of the sin that has ensnared them, who feels the condemnation that is judging them or whatever they are in. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yes. And so Lord, I just declare a new day over their lives, God, that they would not be satisfied with the pleasures of the world, God, but that they would be hungry for your presence, God. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that they would get that seed package visual of what you're doing in their lives, God. I thank you, Lord, that the gospel is truly the power to salvation for all who would believe, Lord. So I just thank you, Lord, that as they are trying to figure out how to live this Christian walk, God, that it is your Holy Spirit at work within them to accomplish that, what you have planned since long ago. So I thank you, Jesus, that God, we just declare, God, that there's going to be people that will no longer be bound to sin, God. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus, that even those listening right now that have felt the shame and have even felt rejection and the abandonment and the hurt, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are a good father and you know how to give good gifts to your children. So I just pray, Lord, that you would bless every single person, God, that you would lead us according to your word, according to the life that leads to everlasting life. And I just pray this last thing, God, that anyone who is on the narrow road that is walking with you, Lord, I pray that you would keep them, God, that you would keep them, Lord. And anyone that is on the wide path that leads to destruction, God, would you grip them, God? Would you captivate them to reassure them that that is not what you have for them, but that they can live a life full of joy, full of peace, and that, God, they would see the things that you have spoken and that they would walk them out on the earth as they believe you. So we thank you, God, for this time. We bless every single person. And Lord, we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done here in our lives as it is in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that it is done. And we believe you for great things. And we bless you in Jesus' name. We come in agreement. We say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, hey, family, we're so grateful that you guys joined us on this Rock Life podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment. Any questions that you have, post those in the comment section, and we will be sure to answer those. Hopefully, we can get a hold of those things quickly to you. But if not, we will see you in church, and you're always welcome to see us at the back door and ask those questions there, and we would love to see you in person. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.